This morning, our gospel reading is found in Luke, the first chapter, verses 68 and following, and I'd like to just sort of set the backdrop for you for that. And the story is this, that Elizabeth and Zechariah have been promised a child by an angel. And the angel first went to Elizabeth and told her, and then to Zechariah, and then when the angel told Zechariah they were going to have a baby, Zechariah's response was, well, you know, we're too old for that. And so the angel said, because you haven't believed, you're not going to be able to speak. And so for 9 months, Zechariah couldn't say a word. Then Elizabeth had the baby, and Zechariah had been instructed that the baby's name should be John, and it was that time that people typically named them a baby after themselves or someone in the family, and so no one in his family was named John. And when he came out of the temple giving thanks and praying before the Lord, people sort of asked Zechariah what the child's name would be, and he wrote simply on a sheet of paper, his name will be John. And of course, it was John the Baptist. And in that moment, his speech was released, and these are the words that he proclaims, a great sort of word of praise and prophecy. And he said this, praise be the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets long ago, a salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show us mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the path of peace. May the Lord bless our word to hearts and minds today. Well, we continue our series on the true gifts of Christmas, and this morning we're looking at the gift of peace. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard this story about a little boy and a little girl that were singing their favorite Christmas carol the Sunday before Christmas, and the boy ended singing Silent Night by singing the words, sleep in heavenly beans. His sister elbowed him and said, no, not beans, it's peas. In any case, you know, with all the hustle and bustle of Christmas shopping and all the parties and everything, it might as well be beans or peas, anything but peace, you know. But it's supposed to be a season of peace. And I know even in my life as I was growing up, it was our tradition on Christmas Eve to always open one present. Now, we always were excited. We wanted it to be something exciting, something really wished for. It always tended to end up being pajamas or gloves, or a board game, something to keep us quiet so my parents could have a little peace and quiet, because they were going to be up all night wrapping some presents and doing some Christmas elf stuff. But for all of us, you know, what is the real peace that comes to us the holiday season? And it really is all about Christ. And so this morning, I want to take a look at these stories and some of the stories surrounding the Christmas narratives in the Gospels. And there's really four of them I would look at, it because there's two words that come up oftentimes, and I think it's very interesting. In four different occasions, the words fear not are used. Fear not. To four different people in four different circumstances. And that's what I want to look at this morning. And the first is the case of Zechariah, that we read his response this morning. But if we were to back up the clock a little bit, when the angel first came to Elizabeth and then visited Zechariah, Zechariah heard the angel's words and he was really overcome with fear. So the angel said this, fear not, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. You know, some of us have the fear of unanswered prayer, the fear of unanswered prayer. Just like Zechariah now, he and Elizabeth had waited all their life to have a son. This was their dream, and of course, now they were up in years, and physically, biologically, it was simply impossible, and all of a sudden, the angel comes with this answer to unanswered prayer. And in fact, their prayers were heard in an amazing way, and in fact, their son, John the Baptist, would be the forerunner of Christ. Now, for you and I, the question is there a fear of some unanswered prayer in our life? Maybe there's a prayer that you've been clinging to. Maybe it has to do with some health issues, or maybe it has to do with finances. Maybe it's a broken relationship. You know, sometimes around the holidays, we have such high expectations, and yet there's some things going on in our families, and it brings to mind some disappointment, and our prayers are just seem to be unanswered. And maybe it's a son or daughter who hasn't come to Christ. You know, the fear that God won't answer that. But if we trust God in His way, in His timing, God answers our prayer if we're just attuned to Him. And today, this Christmas season, think about the unanswered prayers that you have. I think Christ would come to us and say, fear not. Fear not, I answered prayers, and sometimes it's not the way you think, but fear not, because if God gave everything that He could give in Christ to give us peace and to give His life, then surely He could answer prayer and know that God is there and cares for us. The second situation is the situation that we're probably most familiar with, which is the situation with Mary. And Mary had a fear, and her fear was different, and her fear was the angel came to her and said that she would be with child. And Mary said, how can this be? And the angel spoke these words. The angel said, fear not, Mary, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, for with God nothing is impossible. You know, Mary's fear was the fear of human impossibility. It seemed completely impossible to her. And it was within her own range of human possibilities. But we can't put our limitations on God. In fact, sometimes God puts us in a place, I think, where we have to have a miracle from God. If God doesn't show up, then everything is going to be lost. And in that moment, we see a part of God, a glimpse of God, a glimpse of God's power that we would never see otherwise. And so it was with Mary. For nothing is impossible with God. What today is in our hearts and lives that seems like a limitation that we would put on God? I think God would break those aside sometimes and say that what is possible through the miracle of the manger and the miracle of the cross, if God can take the greatest tragedy and turn it into the greatest triumph, then nothing is impossible for God. Just as God spoke to Mary and said, nothing is impossible with God, maybe God would speak those same words to us. What are the limitations that we have that we're putting on God? Those fears of human impossibilities are something we should push aside and feel the peace that Christ comes to us. Then Christ is there with us, and God's power is beyond which anything we could ask or think. Isaiah, in chapter 9, verse 6, it was read earlier, says this, for a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You think about hundreds of years before Christ was born, that prophecy was given, and if it were just our sort of limitations that we were imposing, then nothing could happen like that. But God doesn't have those limitations, and so God comes to us and reminds us, I think, this Christmas miracle, that God's powers are beyond our power, and to have peace in the midst of human impossibility. The third fear is the fear that came to Joseph, and Joseph's fear was really a fear of obedience. He found out his wife was expecting, and the angel came to Joseph and said this, Joseph, son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary as your wife. And it says in the scriptures that Joseph did as the Lord told him. What in our hearts and lives are sort of like Joseph, that we think, you know, God is going to ask us something, and we're really afraid of obeying God. God's going to take us through a new door or down a new pathway, and obeying God sort of makes us shake and quake because we're fearful that maybe God doesn't have our best in mind. What is it that God would say to you? As Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. My peace I leave with you. You know, sometimes when we think about obedience, I know when I was growing up, I thought, well, listen, if I just tell God, listen, I'll do whatever you ask me, I'm going to end up in some other side of the world or doing something in some remote place, or maybe I'll end up with my head shaved at the airport handing out roses, or maybe sometimes I used to go to Purdue and there's someone out in the street yelling at people, and maybe God would call me to do that, and, you know, I don't want to do that. And the fact of the matter is, if we trust God and God's plan and purpose, God knows us better than anyone else. God has his best will in mind for us, and God knows our gifts and talents, and God has a future uniquely tailored to our gifts and talents. If we'll trust God and be obedient to God, God will open up some avenues of grace and His gifts that we've never believed possible before. Today, I think God would speak to us and say, you know, there's a peace that's there that if you just trust and believe in me and obey what I have for you, that I have a plan and purpose for you. The word peace in Hebrew is the word shalom, which I'm sure you know. And shalom isn't just sort of peace that's the absence of violence. Shalom is really the concept that our mental peace, our physical, our emotional peace, our peace with relationships, our peace before God, our peace in our community, in our church, our family of faith, all that kind of peace is wrapped together in shalom. And Jesus comes with a peace to say that, listen, not only has God presented salvation to us, but God has a plan and purpose. And if we're obedient, if we follow his will step by step, that God has something special for us. What's the gift of the future that God has for you and I today? The gift of Christmas is more than just the gifts that we give. God has a plan and purpose for each of us. And the final thing is sort of perhaps the most interesting of all. That's the peace from sin and strife. That's the peace that the angels spoke to the shepherds. And listen again to what the angels said. The angels, the shepherds again were out in the Judean hillside watching their flock at night. And all of a sudden they see these angels lit up the night sky. And an angel says to them, "Fear not. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to all on whom God's favor rests." You know, it's interesting that sometimes when you think about the shepherds outside the hillside and the Judean countryside, and you think, well, if God is going to talk about the salvation of all humanity, why the shepherds? I mean, the shepherds didn't seem to be key people in the society. They're sort of on the lower end of things. They're out in the middle of nowhere. What, God want to go downtown Bethlehem or downtown Jerusalem with this great news? But in fact, you know, the shepherds just outside Bethlehem and Jerusalem in the Judean countryside were very special shepherds. The sheep that they watched and the sheep that they raised were used in the temple for sacrifices. And those sacrifices were sort of the atonement offerings that would be offered for the people on behalf of the high priest. And the angels were coming to say, listen, God is offering the sacrifice of himself on Jesus Christ and this baby born in Bethlehem. And this baby lies the peace between God and humanity, the peace that will take away the sin and offer us forgiveness and new life. And that's perhaps the greatest news of peace that you and I could have this day. And all of us have had some sins and shortcomings. We've fallen short. But this great news of peace that God has himself provided forgiveness, God has provided himself a sacrifice that we could know forgiveness and new life, that's the greatest peace that we could ever have. So today, when you think about the fears that we have, think about how God comes to us in Christmas time, and this is a time when we think about lighting the Advent candles of hope and then peace. Our hope really comes from the peace that Christ made for us. And so today, when we think about the hustle and bustle of Christmas and shopping and all the things that we get worried and anxious about, we have the same fears that these people had. We have the fear of unanswered prayer. We have the fear of human impossibility. We have the fear of being obedient to God. What is God going to ask us? And we have this fear of sin and strife, that something's not right in our heart and lives. But in Christ, God brings all these fears together, and in Christ we find the peace that passes all understanding. Emmanuel, God with us, the Savior of our souls. Philip Brooks was an Episcopal priest some time ago, and he traveled from Boston to the Holy Land. He wanted to be at Bethlehem on Christmas Eve one time, and he knelt down to the place where Jesus is supposedly born, and there's a marker there. And as he knelt down on Christmas Eve, he felt a tremendous peace and passion that touched him in a special way. And he wrote down these words. He wrote down, "The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." And then when he came back to the United States, he again felt to continue that and finish the carol. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. The greatest treasure and the greatest gift of all in all of Christmas is that Christ would come to us as God in human form to offer his life, that we could know love and we could know forgiveness and new life and all the fears of humanity wrapped up in Christ today. We think sometimes that when we light this candle, we also think of the symbol that you and I are offered this candle to walk into our world today and to share that peace once we receive that from Christ. We have an opportunity each and every day to have words of peace with someone, to forgive someone, or to offer a word of hope, a kind word. And, you know, there's a lot of strife and unrest in our world today and community and country and around the world. And Perhaps we can't solve all that, but each and every day, you and I have an opportunity to say a kind word of reconciliation. We have a chance to encourage someone to be obedient, to follow Christ, and there's so many other ways that we can share the light of peace. And so the challenge for us is not only to accept the peace that Christ gives us, but also to offer that to others. There's a story once of two farmers who couldn't get along with each other, and they had two farms, and they were separated by a wide, woody ravine. And even though they were separated by that ravine, they decided as a sign of dislike for each other, they each would build a fence on their side of the ravine. And so for years, the two farms were separated not only by the chasm, but by these two fences on each side of the ravine. Well, as you might have guessed it, as time went on, the daughter of one farmer fell in love with the son of the other farmer. And as they fell in love, they quietly met one night and took the wood from the fences and built a bridge over the chasm. And they fell in love. In the same way, God really has taken the fence of sin and strife in our life and in the cross formed a bridge between ourselves and God and a great bridge of love. And so as we come around this communion table this morning, we're reminded that this peace that God offers us is the greatest peace of all. And this table is a symbol that God loves us so much that he gave his life that we could know forgiveness and new life, peace whatever our circumstances, peace whatever our fear, a peace that transcends all understanding, and a peace that you and I should go into our community and share the light that God gives us with other people near and far. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we thank you for the great gift of peace that we find in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We pray, Lord, that you'd light the candle in our hearts this day with forgiveness and new life. You would quiet our fears. You'd help us to trust you to guide us along the darkest pathway of life and know that you're there with us, lighting the way each and every step. Most of all, we can trust you with our future, the salvation of our souls, and that through your power, we can share your light in a darkened world, in a world in need, through the love of Christ in your name. Amen.